went to Pacific Hill here. They can give me a report, Brother Greg.
There were 36 people called. And Wayne gave a good message, and we had that.
Helen joined us again and played for us, and we sang with her.
Okay. Beautiful.
All right. Let me see. I saw that right hand. Madeline, yes. 288. Thank you very much for speaking aloud. I'm getting older and I'm losing my hearing. All right. 288. Wonderful piece. At least I tell my wife, what do you say? What do you say? All right. Wonderful piece. Sorry, we just cut it in one stanza. Señorita Grace, boy, do you remember when Grace was like this? And now look at that. All right, Grace, tell me.
334.
334. All right, here we are. I think you're going to make a boy happy, unintentionally, but yeah, I know who's happy now.
Oh.
open the scripture in the book of Revelation in chapter 5. And we are studying this book of Revelation in chapter 5 for Revelation for a while. And now we have come, we did a study, and I think I am able, after putting the basis like I did, to complete the study in Revelation chapter 5. So you are good and looking in your scripture. And again, in the evening, I maybe ask you questions, and maybe you have questions to ask to me. So we take it very slowly, and we learn the principles of the Bible, believing whatever the Bible says, that's the rule, all right? And we believe what the Bible said, and if the Bible says black is black, if it's white, it's white. Let's pray. Father, we are again at the moment of briefly look upon the scripture and learn this marvelous event of Revelation chapter 5, where Jesus is worthy to open the books of history of the world, where he is worthy to know what's going to take place. We pray that we may understand the basics of the chapter, and that we may have the assurance that Jesus is in control. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 5. And I saw, so verse 1, in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scrolls or to look at it. So I wept much, and the word I means John, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. And one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I look, and behold, in the midst of the throne and on the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood the Lamb, as though it has been slain, having seven horns and the seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. Then he came and took the scrolls out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls with the full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 20 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. May the Lord bless the holiness of his word. Now, the key thought is verse 5 and verse 6 on this chapter. On chapter 4, the key words was throne. And you see it in verse 4, in Revelation 4:4, around the throne. In Revelation 5, and from the throne. In Revelation 6, before the throne. Revelation 4:9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks him who sits on the throne. In verse 10, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne. And so the emphasis on chapter 4 was the throne. And we remember when we study, we find out who is on the throne and around the throne, out of the throne, before the throne, and what to do with the one who sits on the throne. Look in verse 11. This is what we do with the one who sits on the throne according to chapter 4. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And so we know what to do with the Lamb of God who sits on the throne is worthy to receive honor. Now the focus of our attention shifts from the one sitting at the throne to the one approaching the throne. Look in verse 5, in chapter 5, verse 5 and verse 6. But one of the elders said unto me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scrolls and to loose its seven seals. And I look, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood the Lamb, as though it has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. So the title for me of the chapter is no doubt is Let Us Praise the Lord. That's the title of chapter 5. It's not complicated. We will take about four Sundays to go through the chapter step by step. And we're going to take easy and set of verses. We're going to talk together and have one mind on the wonders of God. Now, there are four compelling reasons why we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, who do you worship? He said, I worship the Lord Jesus Christ. The person is entitled to ask you why. And if the person asks you why, you can go to Revelation chapter 5 and give the reasons why you worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Reason number one, because of who he is. That's what we're going to study in detail tonight. Who is Jesus Christ? Reason number two, because of where he is. That's in verse 6. And then reason number three, because of what he does. Because Jesus is doing something, so because of what he does. And reason number four, because of what he has. And that will cover verses 11 to 14. So we're going to cover the chapter in a reasonable way, but we're going to study little chunks here, little chunks there, so that you get to know and you make some notes in your Bible. Now, I saw this morning a father giving a prize to his son because he took notes on my sermon. All right? So I buy an ice cream if you take notes. All right? You know what I mean? It's good to take notes. Even just a little pencil note mark on the text. So you will be surprised as you go back to that Bible text that you remember what was taught in that text of the Bible. The Holy Spirit specializes in that. Now I'm putting on the screen verse 5. And you look in the Bible and there are different colors in verse 5 because that's how we're going to study verse 5. Remember, the reason number one why we worship the Lord is because of who he is. And verse 5 and verse 6 give us a connection of who he is. And I divide verse 5 for what the verse says, and it's in different colors. So, and one of the elders said to me, here's the first point, weep no more, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Now remember that's that's going to give us a hint of who is Jesus. That Jesus come from the tribe of Judah, said the Bible here, and we're going to find out that. And then has conquered so that he can open the scrolls and its seven seals. So we worship the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is. And now we're going to put in pieces these. We're going to break it and study one by one. Let's take verse 5, all right? He is from the family of kings. The verse said clearly, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. Will you turn your Bible to the book of Genesis in chapter 49 in the book of Genesis. And I'm going to look in verses 8 to 10. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. So I have to go to the scripture and find out if the scripture give me a record of whatever Jesus is doing. So I'm looking for Genesis chapter 49, and I'm going to read for you verses 8 to 10. Here's what the scripture said. Judah, and this is Jacob speaking the blessings on his children, Judah is a lion. Well, you see that? From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who shall rouse him. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Now here we have, what is the word over there that tell you that the lion of the tribe of Judah is a king? Let me give you a Bible reference and you will know it. Esther, let's go to the book of Esther in chapter 8, in the book of Esther, will tell you a clue of what that reference in Genesis 49, verse 8 to 10 is saying. Esther chapter 4, and I'm going to read, chapter 8, excuse me, and I'm going to read verse 4, and you will see with clarity why I believe the Bible said that Jesus Christ is from the family of kings. Esther chapter 8 and verse 4. And the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. All right, that's it. Now, tell me why I believe that by reading Genesis 49, verses 8 to 10, Genesis 49, 8 to 10, and analyzing one word, with Esther 8:4, I believe that Jesus Christ come from the family of kings. What is the word they tell you? The scepter. When we went to England, I don't know if Lara had the opportunity to go to Windsor Castle, where there are billions and billions and billions of dollars. The curator told me, we don't know how many billions of dollars are here because are the kings from the 1500s. And you have to see those scepters they hold in their hands, and pure gold and diamonds that they rule the world. And they are so proud that those kings were, that was the symbol of ruling. And so when back in Genesis, when you read back in Genesis, this is what you have to do to be sure that you are in the right track. The Bible said that Judah is a lion whelp. Then you know that the scripture in the New Testament is saying, weep no more, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. So it's referring to a person, not to a lion, an animal. All right? And then in verse 10 in Genesis 49 says clearly, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. That means that God has selected this tribe, and this tribe will be the tribe of kingship to rule into the life of the people of Israel. And so that moves clearly to me that the scripture is saying that Jesus Christ, who he is from the family of kings. So when he came into the world, it's not that he's going to be a king. He is a king by family relationship. Went back to Revelation chapter 5, and in verse 5, there is another note that I have. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. And he then is the fulfillment of prophecy. In order to understand what the word means, the root of David means from the inheritance of the family of David. And so the Jewish people cannot really argue about this because this is in their genealogy. But if you go back to Isaiah chapter 11 in the Old Testament, there you have the prophecy they fulfill this. Isaiah chapter 11, and look in verse 1. In Isaiah chapter 11, and in verse 1, you have the word of God who says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And you know Jesse was the father of David. Now look in verse 10, same chapter, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him. I tell you, the Jewish people have no idea that the Gentiles will seek for a Jewish king, and his resting place shall be glorious. And so that's what sometimes the Jewish people look for, a majestic king that will control the world, and they are ready to honor him in that form. But he is not talking about David and one of his sons, Solomon, and the other, even though Solomon was beloved of the Lord. These were only pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look with me at Matthew's in chapter 1, where we have the birth certificate of the Lord Jesus, in Matthew's chapter 1 and verse 1, then you find the other part of that text that we saw. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so here is what we have in verse 5. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's kingdom. At the beginning of verse 5, in Revelation 5, is saying, one of the elders said, do not weep, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. That is the prophecy. But then, when you go into Isaiah and you find out that descendant of David has already come because of Matthew's chapter 1:1, and now you understand why Matthew gave us the genealogy and Dr. Luke gave us the genealogy, so that we can compare the scriptures and see if what the Old Testament said is correct with the New Testament. We find out then that the fulfillment of God's kingdom is in the person of Jesus Christ. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's from the tribe of Judah. He's from the families of kings. He actually, verse 6 proves to us, that is God himself. Let me read verse 6, and we pull apart verse 6. In verse 6, there are some difficult things said. And look, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, seven sent out into all the earth. So, seven horns means perfect power. Let's go to Joshua. Let's take our time to see how the Word of God used the word horn. You go to Joshua, and you go in chapter 6, where it is the taking over of Jericho. In Joshua chapter 6, and we start reading from verse 6. And look how the word horn is used. Now, there are no seven horns in Joshua chapter 6, but the word horn is a symbol of God's power. And Joshua 6:6 says, "Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and the seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram horns before the Ark of the Lord.'" Now here we are, the priests with the horns of God. "And he said to the people, 'Proceed and march to march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord.' So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram horn before the Lord advanced and blew it the trumpet, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. Now the armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpet, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, 'You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout.' So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram, again, horns, before the Ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpet. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing the trumpet. And the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpet, that Joshua said to the people, 'Shut, for the Lord has given you the city.' And you know the rest of the story. The walls fall down." So horns are a symbol in the Bible and are used in the Bible as the picture of the power of God. You read the book of Ezekiel and you find a man in the mountain with a horn. He said, "Watch out for the one who is aware of the people." In other words, when the Bible said here in Revelation in chapter 5 and in verse 6, that the Lamb of God, having seven horns, is a symbol, is an indication that the Lamb of God was in heaven, not like a baby was here. Not with the same condition when he came into this world. He was in heaven like the victorious Joshua, finishing the job already. The walls are down, and he is in full power. Now also, in Revelation, you find that verse 6 also said, not only seven horns, seven eyes. And this is, again, eyes talks about the perfect wisdom. The Bible used the eyes of your understanding. And let's go through the book of Ephesians that we study today. If we were reading a little farther this morning, we will get into this verse. It's a verse where Paul explained our privilege, and then he pray. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 18, the apostle is praying. After he explained to them the privilege they have as Christian, remember that we studied that. Also, in verse 16, says, "Do not cease to give thanks for you." He's praying for them. And look at verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." It's not that you have eyes in the back of your head. They are eyes of your understanding or insight. It's an expression used by God. And there in Revelation chapter 5, God is saying that the Lamb of God, there were the seven, the fulfillment of seeing the Lamb of God had seven horns and seven eyes, the complete full understanding. He opened the scroll. He was the only one allowed to open the scroll. Now remember, when he was on earth, the Father said in the Gospel of Mark 13:32, that the end of time will not be known, nor even the Son, nor the angels who are in heaven. Now, nobody can know when this world will end. Nobody. But then when Jesus went in heaven and John was allowed to visit the presence of Christ, the books were open. And now they have full understanding of what's going on. As a man, as the Son of Man, he did not. But as the Son of God and God himself, he does. And so he's in heaven, he's on the throne, and he is not at the mercy of anybody. Now he opens the book on his own merits and rights, and now he knows, has full understanding of what's going to happen in this world. No man in the history of the world now or will ever be able to find out when the world will come to an end or when the world will be the last moments of the world or when the last tribulation will be done. No man will be able to know it. But the Son does. He's in heaven. He's God. And he has the seven eyes of the understanding. He has full understanding of what's going on. Then Revelation chapter 5 verse 6 talk about the seven spirit of God. The very presence of God. I did that before with you. I show you the seven spirit of God. But it's not that you have a mysterious seven flying ghosts in heaven. But if you go to Isaiah chapter 11, you find the expressions made by God with this kind of reference. Isaiah chapter 11 in verse 2. Talk about the Spirit of the Lord. That's one. The Spirit of wisdom. That's three. The Spirit of counsel. That's four. The Spirit of knowledge. That is five. Now go to verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be. I don't have it there, but I will have it in Zechariah. All right, let's go to Zechariah in chapter 12. And you will see in Zechariah chapter 12 in verse 10. All right, there are seven sayings of the Spirit of God, and I want you to really see it. All right, here it is. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10. And I will put on the house of David and of the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and then they will look on me and those who pierce me. And so I miss one only. It's called the Spirit of God, and it's in one of these verses, but I do not have it at hand. So the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of grace, and also is the Spirit of supplication. These are the three qualities of the Spirit. And they match. You go to Romans 8, it says the Spirit of God prays. We don't know what to pray, but the Spirit of God prays for us. You are sometimes in a situation in life and say, well, what do I do now? What do I pray? Don't panic. The Spirit of God, says Romans chapter 8, prays in your stead. And so now it comes for me the opportunity to say to you this: we worship the Lord Jesus Christ because he is what? What do you say he is? We worship the Lord Jesus Christ because he is what? After we saw this splendor, this section, who is the Lord Jesus Christ?
King.
Is King. Come on, Brother Dulilo. He's worthy. Now, yeah, we get it. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. Why?
He's God.
Now we got it. You can write that down. Okay. He's worthy because God. So when you have these doctrines around, they say, well, Jesus is not God and so on. We think, well, it's a mistake. No, it's a serious mistake. Like the Jehovah's Witness who believe, no, Jesus is not God. Have you ever read this verse? Who can say Jesus is not God when you read Revelation 5 and 6? Why do you think people make mistakes like that? Tell me. Why people make mistakes like that? They read the Bible and then let me give you a head. Russell said this morning, the lesson was very profound this morning, but it was easier for those who have a background on the scripture, like this church is a teaching church, so you have a background in what you do, so it's easy to understand. You got somebody completely new who have not studied the Bible verse by verse, and will be very hard to understand. But why some people, seeing this, they deny that the Lord Jesus is God? And they claim, and say, Brother Russ,
they're blind.
They're blind. They're blind. They don't have the Spirit of God. Why do we believe? Are we smart? No. We have the Spirit of God. See, that's how I tell people, that's the proof that you're a believer. Is that right? When you're a believer, you have the Spirit of God. And if somebody comes with a lie to you, can he lie? He can lie. But what? Cannot reach you. Is that right? You go home and say, no, cannot be in this way. Is that right? The Bible says, believe not what? Every spirit. So some people is talking to you, you listen. But Paul said, listen to everybody, I listen. But do not believe everybody. But who do you believe?
God.
And how do you believe God?
By
the Bible. Thank you, Brother Lilo. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you that Jesus is God. Thank you that he's worthy, like my brother said. Thank you that he's God, like the other brother said. And Father, we humble ourselves before him. One thing we will do together, we ask you forgiveness, because sometimes we do not honor you as we should. Forgive us and give us another opportunity tomorrow to honor you, worthy of being God. In Jesus we pray, amen. God bless you.